Shame and a senior resignation after the details come out about years of accounting manipulation at one of Japan's most famous companies. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The senior leadership of one of Japan's biggest corporations resigned today after the results of an investigation showed that Toshiba had dramatically fudged its profits. Over seven long years, the industrial conglomerate pretended to have earned more than $1 billion that it hadn't, in part because bosses leaned too hard on underlings. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is following this from Tokyo.
The investigation into Toshiba found the company had deliberately and systematically misreported financial results over many years. Senior managers at Toshiba began imposing unrealistic performance targets on their subordinates. Rather than fail, lower-level managers responded by cooking the figures. In some cases, they overstated the value of new business, understated the cost of raw materials, or delayed reporting losses. This is the second time in recent years that a large Japanese corporation has been implicated in a massive fraud. In 2011, the newly appointed British chief executive of Olympus Corporation revealed that the company had deliberately hidden losses of $1.5 billion.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes is Tokyo correspondent for Marketplace's partner broadcaster, the BBC. In the U.S., the Federal Reserve has made it official. The biggest of banks now have to hold bigger reserves of readily available money to cushion against future disasters. Eight banks are subject to this, part of the effort to avoid another government bailout someday. Only J.P. Morgan at the moment doesn't have enough. Bank shareholders often bristle at higher reserves because it can cut into their returns. Now, it was 5 years ago today that the law to overhaul the American financial system was enacted. The Dodd-Frank law was designed to lower the chances of the chaos of 2008 repeating itself. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington on the progress of implementing the law even 5 years on.
I should start by saying the Dodd-Frank Act covered lots of things: Wall Street, banks, whistleblowers, consumer protections. Nevertheless,
the dangerous trading, to the extent Dodd-Frank reaches it and controls it, has been substantially mitigated because of the fact that it's not a dark market anymore.
Michael Greenberger is a law professor at the University of Maryland. But to mitigate that dangerous trading that led to the 2008 market crash, the Securities and Exchange Commission had to write lots of new rules, and the agency isn't done yet.
Well, for businesses, it means there's a whole lot to comply with. So I don't think anybody knows precisely what this is going to do to the financial sector.
Richard Williams of the Mercatus Center says the new rules add too big a burden on banks, in particular, contracting lending. The SEC says all those rules are making the financial markets stronger and more resilient. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Some of the biggest emerging economies are pooling resources to help developing countries borrow to fix infrastructure. The money is being put up by so-called BRIC countries from Brazil through China, and the lender, a kind of smaller rival to the World Bank, opened today, significantly, in Shanghai. We have an ongoing series to which you, our wonderful listeners, have been helpfully contributing. It's called Pro Tool, about the tools people hold dear in their line of work. I mean, guitarists always get asked about their guitar, but why not ask, for instance, a hairstylist about their favorite scissors, is the idea. Well, our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, talked to some musicians about their must-have gear, and tech host Ben Johnson has a quiz for us.
I'm going to play you some tape of musicians talking about their favorite piece of gear, or their favorite instrument in this case. So this first one is Nico Case. She's a solo artist and a member of the band The New Pornographers. We talked to her actually during a sound check here in New York at a gig she was playing, and she's got a pretty amazing description of her favorite piece of gear.
It's an endangered species, a really hot endangered species. And it looks like a sleek panther covered in maple syrup, shaking in slow motion.
I'm supposed to guess the tool she's talking about? It's the Jaguar X32 guitar. I don't know. What is she talking
about? Oh, man. You are very close, sir. Well played. The Jaguar, it's actually the cousin of the Jaguar, but she might have been sort of divining that while she was describing it. It's actually the Fender Jazzmaster guitar. It has these swooping lines. It has this tremolo that bends chords and notes and is really flexible, sort of like a giant cat would be. But it's a pretty interesting description.
So you got another one here. It's actually from one of my favorite bands. Who is it?
Yo La Tengo.
All right.
So this is James McNew. He's the bass player for this band, Yo La Tengo, and he's talking about a piece of vintage gear here.
It's real simple as far as voices and stops and things. There's just not that many options to it, but it's a fantastic sounding instrument. And again, which, you know, I think which is kind of, it's kind of regarded as a maybe a toy. And I'm sure, you know, it was, I'm sure it was made for kind of Japanese combo, like pop acts, maybe garage bands in the 60s. I don't know.
I don't know. 60s? Does it have a vacuum tube in it? I have no idea.
Well, it's actually, David, this organ that he really loves. It's a Japanese ace tone combo organ that has this really particular sound that James McNew really likes.
Marketplace Tech host Ben Johnson, thank you very much for this.
Thank you, David.
Marketplace Tech series is called Noisemakers, with the use of the word noise intended to be appreciative. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.